Do you want to do that? Like, I'm Spring Gillard, you say I'm David Tracy, and I say David's the author of Guerrilla Gardening.
Yeah, wince when you say my work, but I like that.
Did you? You winced?
No, you did. You were like cringing. Like, the book was so despicable. You couldn't even, forming your lips into the sound of the name of my book was so painful.
It's not that painful. I'm trying to think about how we describe what guerrilla gardening is.
Oh, it's not.
It's G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A, not G-O-R. So it's not like you're out there gardening with a bunch of hairy beasts, some sort of weird pet therapy kind of a thing, right? It's what? What is guerrilla gardening?
Not exactly.
Well, okay, there may be the odd hairy beast involved, but what is guerrilla gardening?
Oh, that's a long story. It's gardening on public land with or without permission. There's your short answer.
Okay, so and today we're going to be up on a roof. Have you ever had any guerrilla gardeners like scale a skyscraper or something like that and, you know, just to plant some seeds on a rooftop?
Not exactly that I know of, but I think I saw it once. It was on a TV episode and they were wearing capes and it was Batman and Robin. And I'm not sure they were planting up there, but they looked like they could.
They were the original guerrilla gardeners.
Grappling hooks. That was the tip of the day for them. You can get anywhere if you have a good grappling hook on your belt.
Okay. We're going to hang out and we're going to do some stories about urban agriculture and we're going to find out if urban agriculture can save the world, I guess.
Urban agriculture save the world? I don't know. We don't know yet, right?
We don't know
yet. We're asking the question. We don't know. So it's okay.
It's okay. I don't know.
You got to guess?
I was hoping you know because you're sort of the urban agriculture expert.
I'm guessing. But don't tell people I'm guessing.
All right. Well, hopefully after a few episodes, a few interviews, we'll be able to answer that question.
And hopefully is the whole thing.
Hopefully.
We're hopeful, right?
We
got a hopeful outlook. That's why we're doing it. Because if we don't save the world, who's going to do it?
Maybe Batman and Robin.
Grappling hooks. We can do it. We're going to be talking to people all over the city and anywhere else we can find who are doing urban agriculture. And we're going to ask them.
And what is urban agriculture, by the way?
Well, you know, that's a tough one. It actually is. It sounds easy, but it's not. What is it? I don't know.
Growing food in the city.
That's growing food in the city. That's what I figure. So if you have a windowsill and you put some chives in a pot on your windowsill, by my rights, you're doing urban agriculture.
Okay. And I'm gardening on my balcony. I'm doing urban agriculture.
So you're kicking ass doing urban agriculture. You're doing great.
And today, up on a roof, we're doing urban agriculture.
In a big way. This is it.
We're up on the roof with Ted Cathcart from the YWCA downtown. Ted, how did this all happen?
I started here 3 years ago at the Y as a facility manager, and one of the first things I saw when I walked up onto the rooftop was a beautiful expansive garden, and it was all ornamental and it was all wonderful and there was nobody here. And so the first thing I did was look at it. The second thing I did was I fired the gardening company. Because I couldn't imagine why I would pay somebody to come up to the rooftop and actually use herbicides and pesticides and trim things and when no one was actually needing to have that work done. Then I said, with my experience with UBC Farm and my background in agriculture, I said, I wonder what I can grow up here. So a group of probably 5 or 6 YWCA staff members volunteered to take on the garden. And what we did was we started to remove some of the ornamental plants that were up here. We sold them, used the money to buy tools and seeds to plant our first garden. So in 2006, we planted a garden. We had no idea what we were going to be able to grow or what the conditions were like or what the weather was like or anything. And then that was really our first year of trying to find out what did grow.
So now it's almost July 2009. And what have we got? When I'm looking out, I see a whole bunch of food.
Well, not only is it just June 2009, we've already had 4 successful harvests, each one of them in the range of 25 to 30 kilograms. All the people who work here are all volunteers. They get nothing out of it. what they do is we harvest it and we take it to the downtown east side and we donate it to a food program that serves women and children in the downtown east side.
Fantastic.
I just wonder how we can describe this to people about what exactly we're looking at. How big is it? Like, can you throw a football from one end to the other end?
I can't.
I can't either.
It's a total of 650 square meters, which is really kind of a hard concept because it's all broken into planters that are 8x8, 12x12 feet. There's lawn sections. There's raised planters that go along the outside of the building. It's got a paver block patio, which is eventually going to be put into more production area. We're working on a section where we're going to be putting in a square foot garden for to use as an example. So it's very difficult to explain. What I can explain is we've got effectively about 6 inches of growing medium, and that's it. And so we've got 6 inches, which is then there's a landscape clock.
Is this height right here? Is the bottom right here?
Yeah.
So that's only up to my ankle.
Yeah. So what we have is we've got a situation where the plants only have that top 6 inches root zone to grow in. And if the water goes through that and they lose it, they don't get access. They can't send the roots down any farther than that. So we've effectively got planter boxes all over the rooftop, even though they're laid out like a field, or they're laid out like large squares and rectangles.
And what are these hoop things
the
over
hoop houses?
Here?
Yeah. This is our effect of how to deal with urban pests. Last year, year one, worked out beautifully. 150 kilograms worth of wonderful product. Year two, 450 kilograms. We were smoking. Everything was just great. Nothing was wrong. We had no pests. We had no disease. Well, we had a minor amount of aphid infestation and a little bit of whitefly and a few things like that, but nothing else. So I put out a challenge of that time as I said, okay, we're going to grow 1 ton of food per year on the rooftop in downtown Vancouver on 650 square meters of growable surface. And that was my 1 ton challenge. And then the bugs found us. And worse than that, the crows found us and the rats found us. And last year, we believe we grew 650 kilograms worth of food. We harvested about 450. And the rats and the crows got the other 200. And then the other issue with the crows was that we could deal with one or two crows living up in the Scotiabank Tower, flying down, swooping down, taking a few things and going. They then started just going after red things. And so they would go after the red lettuce and just rip it to pieces. But then last year, they decided that they really like cruciferous vegetables. And they went and they ate every one of our broccoli and every one of our cauliflower and every one of our coal products and everything else like that.
And you see them doing it.
And they're the highest in vitamins. So, you know, you can't really argue with that.
I could never believe that two crows could do this. And so one day, one of the silly days of my life, I came in at about 5:30 in the morning just to try to find out what was going on. And as I came across the Burrard Street Bridge and I came down, I says, the sky was black in downtown Vancouver and it was July the 12th. And I said, Armageddon, no, crows after my garden. And sure enough, I came here and they were stripping the heck out of our pole beans.
Oh my God.
And they were just ripping things to pieces. And I honestly don't think they're eating anything.
Crow punks, they are.
What's the biggest challenge growing food on a rooftop?
Up to last year, I would have said crows. This year, we've had such a tremendous spring, and we've had so much crop growth that right now I would probably say that the biggest difficulty we have is spacing the harvest. Why I say that is we're trying to give the women the highest quality, the absolute best produce that we can. All organic, all raised with tender loving care. We harvest it, we have a bicycle that we use to ride the product down to the downtown east side, and I kind of have to judge how much product can go in that bicycle, otherwise we have to take a few trips. Or what we're finding now is that last year we did not have the berry crops, this year we have, so it's kind of a process of how do you actually physically ride berries down to the downtown east side without having them jiggle and kind
without
of
having
mush.
Juice when you get
juicy,
there.
Juicy berries.
So Ted, one of the questions we're asking in this series we're doing is, can urban agriculture save the world?
No, not in Vancouver, because from November to February, forget it. the light disappears.
Greenhouses up on top?
Well, yeah, greenhouses would be fine. Again, you're getting to the fact that you'd have to add artificial light because nothing, we've tried crops where what we will do is we will grow them into the fall. In Remembrance Day, they go to sleep and they forget about life. And then February 15th, they wake up and away they go. But we've not been able to successfully grow anything that will actually be growing over the winter. The kales, the Chinese greens, the winter cauliflowers and everything else like that, just dormant, do not go. And then from then on, so unless you're gonna add another aspect of putting in some light. And then of course, it's always nice to have a bit of a break in the winter time so that that the staff aren't, the people who are working in the garden are not completely burnt out year-round gardening.
And can you, because compost is really my life, I would really, really like to go and peek into your compost.
Sure.
And just see how
yeah.
it looks. As long as it's not too close to the edge, because I'm a little afraid of heights.
No, this is over at our strawberry patch.
Oh, okay. Strawberries I can handle. David?
How could you get hurt in a strawberry patch? Boy, from up here, the people look like, not that high. What floor are we on?
It's the fourth floor.
Fourth floor.
Still.
Five. Fifth floor.
Still, if I went over, I think that would be it.
Okay. Spring, if you just stand up on the ledge here, you'll get a really good view, I think.
Now, I'm going,
I've got high heels
I'm
on
going to
enough.
Apologize for this because in March, the end of March, we had to empty out our winter compost. And we had to move these over and put them on concrete blocks and rewire and then start the compost over again. So effectively, this is the compost we're working with. Well, that is almost like, I don't know, it looks like 90% sand to me.
Yeah.
But this is what we end up getting is the as good as we can get broken down compost here. So we're gonna start bringing the vegetable material from the downtown east side kitchen back to the rooftop, mix it with all the other stuff that's important, and start producing much more compost.
The rats will love that. They'll be really happy with you
for
that.
You may just bring the rats back with you and save them the trip.
No, but you've got good wire mesh here. I'm curious that you've got it open to the elements, though, and not closed off. Does that, it doesn't let too much air and water in, you find?
If anything, we have to water the compost.
Wow.
Because what happens is that with these roof, we can prop them open. So what we can do is set them up so that we can prop them both sides to let nature water them. Or every once in a while, we've got to water them ourselves because they dry out too much because of the open sides.
Well, you got a happy potato volunteer there in your compost bin.
The potatoes are actually our traps. Did you see our wire worm traps?
No.
Oh, that's what those little flags were over there. The what I do, we use no pesticides whatsoever. So with the volunteers, what I do is I get them to go and find me a bug. And so then they have to come back and they have to identify the bug. Is it a good bug or a bad bug? No. Once they decide that, no, that's actually a cabbage looper or something like that, then I say, okay, now this is how you do it. And you squish it. And then I say, now go find me five more. And so I've got a whole group of volunteers who come and they harvest and they deal with plants and tie up the cucumbers and then they squish bugs.
Uh-huh.
So that's my organic way of getting things. Now, when it does get to the point with wireworm, we've lost small things like the little toy choy was decimated this year by wireworm.
Toy choy?
The little bok choys. They didn't make it at all. And then what we're doing is we're using potato traps where we just cut pieces of potato and set them around in the soil and then pull them up and squish the wireworms and put them back down again.
Okay.
And throw them back in.
I was envisioning potatoes trying to escape. And you were trapping them.
Right. Got those wireworms.
Don't ask me why. I wonder if we can ask Ted for a tip of the day.
Right.
This is kind of the fourth year of a multi-year long project. And we're not trying to grow food here. We're trying to grow community. And so what we're doing is we're trying to find ways to involve community in solving nutritional poverty. And this is the example of what it is we will show what can be done And then we will use that as an example to what about all these other buildings downtown Vancouver?
Fantastic.
What about all the areas that are out there? What are all the possibilities of what can be done?
It's a great project, Ted. Thank you so much for being
welcome.
With us today.
Thank you very much.
Great opportunity for us to see it. I'm too bad we can't stay around and squish some of your bugs, but we don't want to take away from your volunteers.
They'd be really upset if they didn't get to squish at least some bugs. It's funny because volunteers, most of them are they're community members who work or live in the downtown area.
So, Ted, interesting guy.
Really interesting guy. What did you learn?
I learned that you can get volunteers to squish bugs and they won't run screaming. Although I didn't see any of his volunteers here, and I did see people down in the street with like queasy looks on their faces and they were looking at their fingers. So.
The only volunteer I saw was the potato volunteer in the compost bin, but I don't think Ted gets that to squish bugs.
The potato traps was
the
a good
potato
tip, though.
Potato traps was very cool. That was my favorite, I think, especially since they have little markers as if they really are actually growing those potatoes, and it's little chunks of potato with like a plant label stuck in it as if they're growing something there, but really they're getting the wireworms to go onto the potato and eat it, I guess.
And the other thing I learned was that rats own this city. We're on the fifth floor and we're surrounded by higher buildings around us, and rats find his crops,
right.
And when they can't fight off the crows, or whoever gets them first, I don't know, between the rats and the crows, they're here.
Well, they aren't called roof rats for nothing.
Is that the roof rats doing that?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the crows having parties at 5 in the morning? Tearing his stuff up, he said. Not eating it, just tearing it up.
Also, why would crows go after Red? That was curious to me too. I have this whole thing with crows, and they see me coming, and I've been pecked on the head and
they
thrown
didn't
off the...
You. They just swooped. They don't
broke
peck.
Broke skin and winged me and thudded me, and I've crashed onto the street. And crows are supposed to be so intelligent, and yet at this time of the year they somehow think that we're going to scale a tree and get up into their nest and take their young. And anyways, don't get me started on crows.
Well, you're exaggerating when you said you had blood gushing out of your head like that, weren't you? They didn't really do that.
Maybe that's why they're going for the red.
Because I gotta tell you, I kind of like crows. I know they're a nuisance. They're like they're juvenile delinquents of the city, right? They kind of hang around, they bug people, they're loud, they're aggressive, and they like think they own the place.
I think we got a little off track here, but anyways.
Crows are gonna rule the world.
Crows
unless
and
the
rats
stop them
crows
first.
Crows and rats, and urban agriculture hopefully isn't making more of them.
Oh, don't
somehow.
Even bring that up.
Good
ruins
grief.
The whole thing. We're shutting it down now. Okay, see you next time.